Hope these few words will be words of encouragement to the saints and to myself. I've always going to speak in, I'll tell you where I'll speak first, in 1 Kings chapter 10, and starting at verse 1 to the end. And we're going to be talking about King Solomon, but more importantly, we're going to take a look at the Queen of Sheba. And on the last verse of our reading from chapter 10, verse 13, we'll look what Solomon was able to do for the Queen of Sheba. But we'll just look at it in that respect. And then I'll go over and I'll read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And that would bring us to the picture and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. On what he is able to sustain us with, he is able to give us, he is able to be with us, and for us to feel his presence through his word, through our relationship, but more importantly, that the indwelling of the Spirit of God is within each one of us who are saved and have accepted him as Christ as our Savior, that we have that indwelling Spirit within us, that close relationship with the very God of heaven through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now for our reading, 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train with camels that bear spices and very much gold, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearer, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee upon the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold. I just looked that up. That's 4.5 tons of gold. Precious stones, and there came no more abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophrah and brought it from Ophrah great plenty, agum trees, or sandalwood, they believe it is, and precious stones. And the king made the agum trees pillars of the house of the Lord, for the king's house harps also, and psalteries for singers. And there came no such agum trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside which Solomon gave her of his own, of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now I'll just quickly turn over to Ephesians 3 and 20. I can read it for you. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So here we have the Queen of Sheba, and she comes because she's heard of this great king. And and his fame, but she came because perhaps she couldn't believe what she heard of this man. Now, his fame, it would be that which she had heard of his great house, his great prosperity. She was coming into a land that the very God of heaven told Solomon, thou shalt be a man of peace and not a man of blood. So there was peace in Israel. Their enemies were put to the side. So she was coming from the south into this land of peace. No need for fear. And she came with great quantities of riches because she was coming before a king. And that's important because she took and recognized that she was coming before a great king. Even though she had only heard and not seen with her eyes, that she was coming before a great king with many gifts. To put it in our perspective, that when we were probably first saved and we heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and we came to realize who he was in that moment of time by the Spirit of God, we came in the presence of the great King. We were humbled and broken before him. He sought not precious stones, nor gold, nor fine spices. That was not what he required of us. What he required of us, the greatest gift that he could give mankind, was the gift of the knowledge of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, when she came into the presence of the great King, she came with gifts. It amazes my heart that when we come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, whether privately or publicly, in a setting of an assembly, we come with our hands full. We're not asked to bring 4.5 tons of something precious. We're not told to bring words that are so fragrant and so appealing to the ears of men. We're to bring nothing but that handful of worship that we feel from our hearts. That's all that the Savior and God is looking for. God is looking for us to give honor and praise in a word, in a thought, not even audibly mentioned, that our attention be fully put upon him for that short period of time. And so in our private life also. But she came because she had only heard. So she first heard in her own country, and then her next step was that she came. That her interests were piqued. She was a queen in her own right. She was giving away that multitude of riches and precious stones and spices and gold. But she was lacking something in her own land. Might we say that my country has my heart. So if we took that analogy and put it to the Queen of Sheba, that she could not find in her own heart, in her own land, she couldn't find the wisdom or the God, the Lord, the God of Solomon, because she had heard concerning the name of the Lord. She sought a wisdom that could never be found. And so how it was with us, that not through wisdom of words, but through the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives, she came, we came, and that there was something missing. Not only in her life, but in her own land where it couldn't be found. So she came to a source where she thought she could find an answer to all her questions. So after she heard, she came with this great train. And then we read In verse 2, she communed with Solomon. Of all that was in her heart, of all those nagging questions, and I know our time is going quite quickly, and Mr. Parker used to say, "There's the only experience I have is my own experience," so you'll apologize for the personal reference. Not too many weeks ago, I've been troubled about a girl that I went to school with. I haven't thought about her for years. And I said to Debbie, I said, "You know, I went to school with this girl, Patricia McDevitt. And I can remember, I lived on 13th Street and she lived on 16th Street. And I can remember going along the lake shore as a young fella. And I was on the south side, she was on the north side. And she was a sickly child all her life. And as a young person, I thought how strong she was. At a young age, I see her walk alone. She wasn't popular. And every time you talked to her, she had a smile on her face. And not that I talked to her for extreme. I was a kid myself. But she always had a smile. She was born in the same year I was, in 1952. She died August 4th. 2019. I looked up her obituary, or I should say probably Debbie did. I'm not good on that thing. Anyways, I read her obituary. She lived a happy life. And that's what people remembered of her, was a smile on her face, and that when she came into a controversial subject, which she wasn't saved, so in the world and that. So anyways, God gave me peace about her after I read about her life. But no one else could give me peace. But God is able to come into our lives in many different aspects of things that bother us, things that we perhaps in a sense regret. But the Queen of Sheba, when she came into Solomon's presence, she sat down, and she would do probably exactly what we would do. As she came into his presence, first of all, with hard questions. She probably had a couple of trick questions that only she knew the answer to. But when we read that nothing that was hid from Solomon, it wasn't that he knew something about her or didn't know something. There was nothing hid. The wisdom of God, James 5:17, the wisdom from above. And she recognized that Solomon was a great king, but she recognized more of the fact that he had the Lord God of heaven who gave him that wisdom. She knew where the source of his wisdom came from, and she sat down to commune with him when she had tried him with hard questions. Perhaps we have tested the Lord with hard questions in our own lives. I know I have. Have they been the answers that I thought they would be? Absolutely not. But in the long run, in the years that go by, you see that there is good that comes out. There is good that comes out. So anyways, she communed with him, as we are to commune with our God. She had the ability, and the saints of the New Testament had the ability to see the Lord Jesus and go up to him and ask him. Seen him in the crowd and in the temple when he taught, and on the mountainside, on the seashore, from the boat. They were able to come to him and talk to him and to ask him questions, to be healed, to see, to walk again. We have a closer relationship than that. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is our Lord and Savior. But God said, the Lord said, "I shall not leave thee comfortless." We have the indwelling Spirit of God within our lives. Our judgments might not be right judgments. Our decisions might not always be the right decisions, and we're human, and they'll never be always the right decisions. But we have a God who we can commune with to try to find the right. Not of my will or opinion, but the right from God's word. You know, I was thinking about this, and I have for a while, I'll be quite honest. I've always thought about this. You know, you read in a book or a textbook at school, there's always a place you can go to the back, and usually they'll, especially in math or physics or chemistry, you'd go to the back page, and it gives you the chapter, the page, and it gives you the answer sometimes. And there's the answer. Well, I didn't really know the answer. I thought the answer was this. But you know what? No matter what your opinion was, when you went to the back, that was in black and white, printed out there, unarguable, there it is. No less the commandments, the laws, the statutes, and the precepts of God. And I fall far, far short of them. And there's not a human, a saved Christian, or a human being in the world that can fill the will of God and never fail. We all fail. We all come short. But do we beat ourselves up over that? That's not what God wants. God says to you, move past that. As she did when she communed with and got an answer to commune with Solomon, but she recognized that his wisdom was from above and answered all his questions. Now she's seen with her eyes, as we go on in verse 4 and 5, and that she's seen his great house, she's seen men servants, his ministers, she's seen all that. And she was impressed. And you know, and to get this time alone with Solomon to talk to him was not easy. She was a visiting dignitary. And she had dinners to attend to. They probably took her up to the temple, took her around Jerusalem, showed her all the sights, all the pomp. We know of that with the queen, that when they come to visit a country, they're whisked away here. They have a half hour there, an hour there, dinners at night and speeches and greeting people and all that. What was in the heart of the Queen of Sheba, a heathen queen, that she might be able to sit down and commune, and hear from the lips of a man the wisdom from heaven above itself, from the very lips of God. And she did. She made time. One whom was a heathen. And here we are, the children of God. And it's very important to read God's word, to keep it in your mind. I don't care whether you're walking or however you do it, however it is, to spend time with him and to know the closeness and the power and the majesty and the honor that we should give God. Those kings of the east, when they entered into the house, the first thing they did was they fell down and worshiped him. Fell down. Then presented the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. She came all that way that she might hear but for a little while. And after she saw all that it was, after that we come, but we will never see all that Christ is. Not in this life and not in eternity. He will be an eternal unfolding of the person of Christ. We read that the earth couldn't hold the books if everything was written about. Every word, every action. Isn't it so human to dissect? What was the purpose of this? Why did the Lord do this? Why did he say that? Why did he go this? Why were we told that? But more importantly, in heaven, we will see that Lamb of God. And there will be an eternal unfolding of the perfection and the beauty of Christ. Of Christ in our lives. How insignificant sometimes we feel. How deflated sometimes we feel. How disappointed. In eternity, we'll see that there was a Christ who loved us, that we were not alone, that he was with us, that wisdom from above. And we probably sometimes in a lot of avenues of life, the questions will not be answered in this time, but there will be a joy to the answer in a time to come when we are with him. Very important to commune with none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. She also, as I was saying, she also saw. And you know what impressed her the most? She was a queen. She had gold, she had jewels, she had a palace, she had an army, she had boats, she had all that. That wasn't really what impressed her. What impressed her was the God of Solomon. Because when she's seen his ascent, we read these words, there was no more spirit found in her. Now, I've thought about it, and believe me, I'm not a Bible student, nor do I pretend to be. I'm not a person that likes to give ministry. And this is just a word of encouragement that I'm giving today. But what impressed her, the spirit that left her, that she had no spirit in her, was when Solomon ascended up to the temple. And why is that? Well, we read it. We've got a couple of pages in here, references in the New Testament about the temple of Diana, of the inappropriate behavior of the priests, the inappropriate of supplanting God in his temple, of it becoming a den of thieves, of merchants of money to be. And there was that human sacrifice at times in these heathen temples, and things too crass to mention from the pulpit. But when she's seen Solomon, the great king, the wisest man, the most wisdom of any man that was or was to come, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, when he ascended up to that temple, he knew his place. He took his place as a worshiper, as one who sought the heart, the mind, and the wisdom of God. We speak of his wisdom as that wisdom was for everybody else. That he was so wise, perhaps we might think that he had no need of wisdom because everything he did was right. Well, we know that's wrong. Because as the years went by, Solomon was drawn away from his communing with the very God of heaven, and let him down. So there is a danger in our own lives. Draw near. Be refreshed. Seek the Lord. And then she said of Solomon that the God of heaven, the Lord, has placed thee over Israel, whom he has loved forever, to be their great king. And what was the result? What was the result of that great wisdom that stopped her in her tracks? Because I'm sure there was deceit in her own court. I'm sure there was ministers that took bribes on the side. Favoritism was given. But when Solomon was at his peak, the most communing with his own God, that he might have wisdom not only for the people but for his own life, these two things she says, judgment and justice. Judgment and justice. Two precious aspects of any civilization. Anyone can give a judgment, but his judgment was just. I could give a judgment that's wrong. But justice, if the judgment is given in justice, that's what impressed the Queen of Sheba, knowing that the Lord God was that wisdom from above, that it penetrated, that it flowed down from Solomon to all those around them that heard him day by day. The wisdom of his words, his deportment, his speech, the way that he would talk to her was probably no real different from the way that he spoke to his servants. The thank yous, the appreciation, a God's creature, a fellow Israelite, a fellow tribesman, a fellow brother. And that's how we're to treat each other. No one is any more special than anybody else. It's this love, this wisdom that she sees of God's love to Solomon and the people of his court, but also their love to God for all that he has given, the peace of the land, the prosperity of it. And so she gives many, many riches there. And then she comes down, and we come to Solomon, and boy, I'm telling you, it was a pretty good day for her, because he gave of all her desire. First, she was told, I'm sure, that when she went into Solomon and they had walked around, and we realized that it was not always gold and riches that Solomon sought. There was elephants, there was peacocks, there was exotic animals, there were exotic woods, ivory, there was sculptures, there was masons, there was painters, there was embroidery. So as Solomon's walking with her, he says, all that you ask for, I will give. I will withhold nothing from you. Ask and you shall receive it. And that was her, if she asked. But perhaps as they're walking through certain things, she was drawn. She was drawn to something, and Solomon could see there was a desire for it. Not a need, but a want, a desire for something. And he fulfilled all her desires. Not only what she asked, but what she desired, he gave. And there was no need for her to bring that gold and spices and precious stones. The Lord God of heaven had blessed Solomon above all in his riches, in his housing, in his horses, his barns, his chariots. He had no need of anything that she brought him. But from his bounty, as when David, his father, sought to build the temple, enough was the cry. Enough. There is enough and more to build a temple of wood and stone and marble and gold and linen and fine twine linen. Enough. And Solomon goes, and whatever you desire, I shall give you of my royal bounty. I'll say this. For material, she walked away with more than what she came. In wisdom, when she walked away, she had the answers to those, whatever the question was within her own heart, whatever burden she had. She was envious of the servants that sat at his feet and served him day by day, for they would hear his wisdom consistently. But she had to return But she returned with a full and a happy heart to her own country because she had seen the answer to all that had bothered her and all her questions had been answered. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when we prepare for a message, I always say to, not that I do it often, I'm not trying to, don't get that, I'm not trying to say that, but when I do it, I say, it's going to take me a lot longer, because you go down these rabbit holes. This leads to this, this leads to that, and then you jot a note, jot this note down, jot that, and you end up with pages. It's putting it all together. Ephesians 3:20 puts it all together, and with this, I'm not going to elaborate too much on our time's gone. I just want to say of the supply, the sufficiency of the God who we call our Lord and Savior, of what divine persons in eternity before I was ever born, before mankind was ever set the first foot in that garden. Divine persons in eternity past, if we can use that statement, that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for each one of us individually, for each one of us, that today, this morning, that he would have us found here around this simple table with a loaf and a cup. The God of heaven who has, from the minutest, tiniest atom particle in existence, to the largest mountain in the world that's covered by the ocean, to the length and the breadth of the earth, to all that is above the earth and below, above the sea, in the sea, and below the sea, of all the universe, this is mine. The cattle of 1,000 hills are mine. What a great God we have. And what does he require of us? Our worship. What a joy. And the joy is this, that no matter how simple I am, the smallest and most insignificant in human terms, no one is insignificant in God's terms, that I can say a prayer to the God of heaven and thank him for his son, either audibly or quietly. That prayer and that thought is not gone unnoticed. It is more than the 4.5 tons of gold that the Queen of Sheba brought. It is more fragrant to the God of heaven than all the spices that she brought from all the east. The fragrance of that train that delivered it to Jerusalem, the scent went out from it on either side of the passage, being noticed, recognized, and then taken through the nostrils that they knew that there were spices from the far east. They knew, and so does God, whatever we come to him in our supplication before him, whatever we have, whatever thought of his son is blessed and precious. There is no price upon it that we can, as humans, as saved human failing beings, can please the God of heaven with a simple thought, with a simple prayer, with a simple handful. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Lord Jesus Christ said in the New Testament, and Richard just read to us the rest of that verse 42, in Luke's gospel, it would have told us that greater than Solomon is here. They seen him. They talked to him. They handled him. We also read in another passage, the Lord Jesus was found walking in Solomon's porch, and it was winter time. A greater than Solomon is here. The Son of God, I've come to the nation to save thee. And it's the saddest, one of the saddest things that he was in Solomon's porch. And those words, and it was winter. The hearts of the nation were cold against the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not accept him for who he was. Now, does that mean that everything that we pray for, we're going to get? Does that mean that every desire or want that we have, that we are going to get? Absolutely. We're told that. So you can go to God and you can ask him for anything. But there's a little bit of a boundary to that. We ask that it is according to God's plan. And what we ask, that it will bring only glory to God himself and to his Son. And if we ask, we ask for God's wisdom and knowledge that it will be good for us. I'm going to tell you something. And I've thought about, I try to get this thought out of my mind. You hear about the $1 million lottery, and I don't play the lotteries, but you hear about some guy winning $40 million, $70 million. You hear about a guy winning $5 million. And boy, I think, man, what could I do with that money? And the more I think about it, it would destroy me. I am incapable of handling that wealth. After thought, I'm not talking that I thought about it before I spoke here. I'm talking going back years and years. So God has wisdom that maybe Wayne down there wants to be, and he says he's going to do all this good with it, but it's going to kill him in the end. It will ruin me. And my father used to say to me, and I know it's an old adage, but my dad was an older generation, used to say, be careful what you ask for because you might get it. But God in his wisdom knows what's good for us. But we only can ask that's going to bring glory to God. We can only ask that which is going to glorify his Son. And that which we can only ask for, that which God has decided is good for us. In eternity past, he did give us that, didn't he? He gave us his precious Son, and there came that day, that great gift that cannot be priced to put upon it in this human scene, that we accepted Christ as our own and personal Savior. That great gift. And we have his word. Some people say that this is a mind, a rich mind. What does God think? What does God say? And I know I've said this before. David McPhee used to say, we don't need to really know anything new. We only have to live out what we already know. And that's hard, but we're not alone. We're not alone as an assembly. We're not alone as a person. And especially in this COVID, I got 2 minutes, I'll finish up. Especially in this COVID situation, this isolation, Debbie won't mind. You know, your answers sometimes to your wife might be a little sharp, or your children, or you might be a little frustrated that you can't get out. And of course, it's been really cold, but this COVID thing, and where you can't get out and do things that we used to do, it's a challenge at times, I'll admit. Sometimes a little bit of depression, a little bit of feeling sorry for yourself or whatever. But you know what? When you get into this book, when you get into this mind of gold here, and you start to descend into it, you know, it certainly takes your mind off your present situation. We're not ruled by our circumstances. Our love is for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ruled that we might follow what he would have us to follow, to draw ourselves close to him, so that even before we asked, he knows. And there's some things that we would pray for privately. Perhaps we wouldn't even tell another person. That's between us and the Lord. Perhaps personal challenges. We would never utter it in public prayer. We keep it to ourselves, and that's where the thought is, or think. So if you're thinking something that I can improve myself, isn't that what the world tells us? Isn't that their five-year plan or yada yada? But there's value to it in the sense that we should always look back and have I made improvements? If I was a runner, have I run longer? Have I run faster? Have I run steadier? And sometimes it might be great leaps. And sometimes it might be incremental improvements. Incremental improvements drawn by the Spirit of God to the Word of God, that I might conform to God, that I might be in some small capacity kinder, more Christ-like. And it might not ever be seen or noticed by anybody else, but it's noticed by the God of heaven. And he's the judge for our own lives, for our own sakes. And according to his power that worketh in us. That, it amazes me. I worked with a master mechanic. And there came a time when we were doing an airplane engine at one time, working on a cylinder for a friend of his. And took it out, and they reground it, the cylinder, and everything was going fine. And he found a mistake. So he had to, they paid for it and everything, the company that made the mistake. But he said, garbage, throw it to the side. I'd rather buy a new motor and start all over again. God doesn't say that to us, does he? No matter how much our personal failures are, or how much we judge ourselves, God doesn't say to us as we're on our Christian walk, I've had it with you. I've had it with you. Same thing. I've had it. Throw them to the side, and he goes on and he finds somebody new. No. That's the power of God with the indwelling Spirit. So no matter how much I try through the power of will to improve myself, I'll fail. But I've tried to improve myself through prayer and the Word of God, and it's God's glory and the glory of His Son and the furtherance of the gospel, I believe God will answer that prayer. And isn't it nice to know two things I'm going to say? That someone else is praying for me because I feel that I'm being prayed for. And that's such a great feeling to know in your heart. There's a sister, I won't mention her in a meeting. I will mention her. It's Mrs. Parker. And years ago she said, yeah, I pray for you every day, Wayne. And you know, sometimes when you're down, that's a great joy to your heart that you can feel the power of someone's prayer. But you know what's great too? Greater is that we have the Spirit of God that wants to see us all to go on, to walk that path with Him, to recognize it is God whom we serve. It is Christ who we accepted as Savior. It is His Son, and to give the honor and worship and glory that He desires. So we'll just close in prayer.